shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, now everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, they sing it round the throne, in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, now everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there.
Oh, hallelujah. Everybody's going to be happy over there. Everybody ain't going to be there, but them that are there is going to be happy that they're there. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Isn't it a privilege once again to be able to come into His courts? We want to enter with thanksgiving and praise because this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Give Him a big hand kind of praise if you love Him tonight. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, now everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. We will shout and sing. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Well, it's so good to be back in the house of God tonight. Brother John Horniak blessed your hearts here Wednesday night, didn't he? Certainly appreciate our brother, and the Lord just blessed us with a good service. And tonight's another night. We need His touch again tonight, don't we? Amen. Why don't you just turn around in the quietness of this moment, take somebody by the hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. Oh, we're going to shout and we're going to sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, if you will. Got several things we want to let you know about tonight. We want to remember Brother Harold Buchanan and his family tonight. I talked with Brother Keith Buchanan just a little while this afternoon, and Brother Harold is getting pretty weak, But we still know that God is on the throne. God is still the healer. Don't matter what doctors say. We know that the will of the Lord will be done regardless of what anybody says. So we're just asking the Lord to be with Brother Harold and the Buchanan family during this time of their life, that God would be mindful of them. We'll remember Sister Brenda Collins tonight, very sick in body. Also understand that she's going to be leaving this assembly, moving to Washington to be with her daughter and son-in-law. So we want to pray that the Lord would just let everything work out to her good as she makes that journey and transition period in her life, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Brother Daniel Barclay wants us to pray for Mrs. Jerry Epperton, who's been battling ovarian cancer for several years. Her husband is an unbeliever, but they're asking that we would remember that lady in prayer as we pray tonight. So let's remember that need. I want to pray for a little 10-year-old girl from Illinois named Annie. She was kicked by a horse and is in critical condition. So let's remember that need tonight. Also want to pray for Brian McKee for an important test that is to do with employment. So let's remember that prayer request. Also want to thank God for a good report for a lady by the name of Shirley. Mary McGee sends that those needs in, that testimony. Let's remember those folks tonight. Sister Patricia Short says, please put in a prayer request for my mother. She's in the Holston Valley Hospital in Kingsport, and they're asking that we remember her in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Sister Connie Cook, not feeling well tonight. She's streaming the service, so let's pray that the Lord would touch our sister tonight. I want to pray for Janet Beck. She has leukemia and has received a bone marrow transplant from her brother. Her body is rejecting, so please remember those folks in prayer tonight as we pray. Sister Estera Johnson sends this in. God is, this is an update on Magdalena Carter. God is so good that she is now home from the hospital. The doctor has ordered chemotherapy for her. Please continue to keep her constantly in your prayers. She is in excruciating pain from time to time, not able to eat. Also pray for my sister Tabitha, who is helping take care of her. Your prayers are more than we can ask for. She said she feels the presence of the Lord, and she knows you're praying for her. Magdalena's faith is strong, and she believes that she is healed. Now she's just resting and waiting for her complete deliverance from this demon of cancer. We believe that all things are possible and believe that she will make a complete recovery. Thank you, and may God richly bless. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight in this assembly that you'd like for these folks to pray about, we believe that we're serving a God that's bigger than all the troubles that Satan could ever throw against us. We're serving an ever-present God that's bigger than all of our troubles, bigger than all of our trials. I'm glad about that tonight. And Satan knows he's got just a short time to work, and he's working hard. But I'm telling you what, we've got a promise that's never ending. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother Terry, would you come tonight if you would pray over these requests? Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord. Let's invite his presence into this service tonight. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Can we all pray together? Lord Jesus, first of all, we want to invite you to come and be with us tonight. It would be of no benefit to have a service if you are not the preeminent focus of our life, and to worship you and to come to know more about you, and Lord, to hear from you, that you might speak to our hearts and give us direction, a little further understanding into the Word of God. Father, I'm thankful for what it cost, not only to have this message, but to bring this wonderful message. What it cost you, your whole life was a sacrifice. And Lord, I think about the prophet, what it cost him to bring this message. The third pull, reading in one of his books, Lord, he would take the people by the left hand. He said it would make his hands so numb. It sometimes have to run hot water on it for a half hour to just get the numbness out of it. Even stop a wristwatch, the physical effect on his left hand. And the second pull, Lord, to discernment, what it did to him just 8 days out in Arkansas, like it killed him physically. Lord, the price it costs to bring this message. And Lord, it's a great price for us to live the message, because we have to die daily. It is a death. There has to be a death in her burial and her resurrection in her own lives. I pray, God, for each one of these requests. Brother Harold Buchanan, a real brother, we ask it, Lord, that your will be done. Father, whether he lives, you heal him, or Father, he has his days are numbered to go home to glory. He's a winner either way. That's what he's trusting in. We believe, Lord, your will be done. Sister Brenda Collins, you know her need. I pray that you'll just be with her. And each request that I hold in my hand, I pray that you'll touch each one and heal them. The little girl that was kicked by a horse in critical condition, I pray, God, that you would undertake in her behalf. God, you've already healed her. May you manifest it now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, as our pastor brings the word of the Lord tonight, may we be under great enthusiasm. And may we pull on the gift. May we hear, Lord, the portion of Scripture that you'd have him to exhort and testify and preach on. And may it be spiritual food in due season. And may we go from this field and say it's been good to be in the house of God. And may we take with us, Lord, a little extra faith muscle. We thank you for the service Wednesday night. Bless Brother Horniak for his efforts, Lord, and the young people that came around the altar and the different sisters that was touched. I pray that you would just be with each one of them. May they grow in grace and the knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus. Give us what we have need of tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would receive our worship, our praise and thanksgiving.
Amen, Jesus.
We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, may God richly bless them. Let's sing a song tonight. Oh, I want to see him. Is that your desire tonight? You want to see him? Let's sing that tonight, if you will. A flat in the book, he says. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary through the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Within look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, pleading in the fight. With the tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, he's guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look on his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. The streets of glory, all cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him.
of glory. Cares all pass from at last, ever to rejoice. One more time. Oh, look upon His face, there to sing forever. On the streets of glory, cares all past, come at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, we want to see You, Lord. Aren't you glad you see Him being revealed in His Word? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing just one more little short chorus tonight. I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Brother Terry, I think we'll just go on. Just go on. You want to do that? I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Oh, we're feeling so much better. We're feeling so much better. So let's go on. Let's go on. Yes, let's go on. Let's go on. Well, the devil, he don't like it. No, the devil, he don't like it. So let's go on, let's go on. Yes, now let's go on. Talking about the Lord. Yes, let's go on, let's go on. Oh, let's go on, let's go on. You can say it better than that. Feeling so much better. Well, we're feeling so much better. So let's go on, let's go on. Oh, let's go on, let's go on. Just go on. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. We have a couple of specials tonight. As you know, Brother Bill Yance has been a sick man. But he's here in the service with us tonight, and he's going to give us a song here just in a few minutes. Brother Bill, God bless you. We're glad you're here. Glad the Lord's brought you along, buddy. Amen. And before he sings, we've got another special song tonight. Never, I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd ever say this. But I'm glad to say it tonight. Brother Tracy has a song for us tonight. Now, what about that, Brother Terry? Brother Tracy, come sing us a song tonight. You want to stand right there? I know you'd have to change things up on us. Help him out, Brother Tim. We love Brother Tracy, don't we? Amen.
Hello. I ain't no singer. I've never done nothing like this before in my whole Christian life. But I was over in a fellowship hall one evening, and God put it on my heart to sing His song, make it. So I'm going to try. Y'all pray for me. I ain't never done nothing like this, but I'm going to try. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. Jordan deep and Jordan wide, I've done and crossed to the other side. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. He loves, I love him. Of Calvary, I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. Went up Golgotha Hill, let them nail him to a tree. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see. I was a thought in his mind, you see, way back there before Calvary. I'm going home to be with Jesus, just wait and see.
Amen. Good job. Good job, buddy. Amen. I don't know why you waited this long. You would have been enjoying that for a long time, Brother Tracy. I appreciate that, don't you? Amen. I want to go with you. I want to go with you. Brother Bill, God bless you. Come sing for us, buddy. Appreciate Brother Bill tonight. Brother Tracy, God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I've almost been there, brother. So, I didn't know I almost died until my wife told me. They didn't ask permission to go down my throat with all kinds of tubes, things like that. But they didn't know what was going on in another realm either. Because I'd kept down calls and things that I'd been getting while I was laying there in the hospital. And there was over 3,000 people praying for me in one night. And God heard somebody. And I appreciate and I appreciate Brother Donnie and all of you people very much for calling my name in prayer. And so there's a lot of things can happen to you at one time and you don't even know what's going on. Well, I've been in the hospital 3 times with pneumonia, and the last time I went in, I almost went out of this world. Then they said I had 5 blood clots in my lungs, and I had a mass on my throat, and my blood pressure was leveling out 179 over 114. And so as the people began to pray, I told the doctors, I said, you run all the tests on me you want to. But I'm going to tell you something, that mass you said's in my throat's not going to be there. And so they run the PET test last Friday. He called me and said, well, I've got good news for you. He said, sorry, it's gone. And so, amen. So. So everybody all week long has been saying, how are you right now? I said, I'm about 75%. Until Thursday, Mr. Diver Ticolitis come by with an ice pick and run it down my side. So I was back in the hospital again with Diver Ticolitis Thursday night. And so I bagged them. They run a scan. I said, I bag you. Run it up 12 or 15 more inches so I can show you people that them blood clots are not in my lungs. But no, this is just for your stomach only. And they wouldn't do it for me. And I almost offered the girl $5. Just come on, raise it up just a little bit. And so, but I'm glad. But I guess the worst thing that hurt me during my sickness, when the doctor looked at me and he said, you're only allowed to preach one service a week. And so, when you're used to being in service 4 to 12 services a week for 20 years and then go to one, that's not my style of life. And so, it's all right. I'm getting ready to dissect a fellow's heart. It's found in Isaiah 14. Because you have said in your heart, and I'm going to do heart surgery on him for what he's done to me. So we'll try this song. I like it. I've sung it everywhere, I guess. Y'all playing the key of G. Give it to me on the drums. It'll work that way. Yeah. On a stormy sea of sin, I was sinking, yes, never to rise again. Think about it. The wind and the waves were around me crashing. They have battered and torn me within, but I got good news, and he rescued me. Jesus rescued me. The cold, dark waters of sin's troubled sea, he rescued. Can see my Jesus reached down in love and he rescued me. I got this low. Yes, I could feel death's arms around me as I struggled for my life. I could see his angels waiting just to claim me for his pride. But in that hour of desperation, yes, I almost lost my mind. But somehow I cried to Jesus, and he saved me just in time. And he Jesus rescued me. The cold, dark waters of sin, troubled sea, he rescued me. New life I now can see. Oh, Jesus reached down in love. How about everybody helping me on this horse? And he rescued me. Jesus rescued me. The cold, dark water of sin, troubled sea. He rescued me. New life I now can see. Everybody help. Oh, Jesus reached down in love. You know what? My Jesus reached down in love. Everybody help. My Jesus reached down in love. And he rescued me. Well, guess what I heard? A good saying. He wasn't quite done with me, so he slipped me back in the oven. And when I get well done, my faithful servant, he'll pull me back out again.
Praise the Lord. Well, we all want to be well done, don't we? I figure if we're going to hear the words well done, we better be well done. If you're not well done, you ain't going to hear the words well done. So, amen. Certainly a privilege for us to be gathered together tonight, isn't it? In the presence of God. What a blessed people we are. In this time of darkness and sin that's on the earth, there's no hope for the world, no hope for the earth, no hope for anything at all except the coming of the Lord Jesus. All creation is groaning. Man is groaning. Sad part about it is I don't even know what they're groaning for. Let's turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 15, verse 20 tonight. I'd like to speak to you on this thought of quickened from the dead. Amen. Quickened from the dead. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. We've been reading this for several weeks, but I think it'll help you to get the setting for the direction that we'd like to go tonight. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Amen. Now listen at the story, the way Jesus concludes this, as far as this condition of this boy, how that this is a divine look now, not a human look. This, my son, was dead and is alive again. Now, a person can be dead and never be alive because of eternal death, eternal separation. But this is not so with his son. He was alive, then dead, then alive again. For this my son was dead and is alive. Now Jesus doesn't say now he was dead and then he was alive, but alive again, which means he was alive prior to this. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now this is what happened to those folks whenever they began to realize this. And they began to be merry. Understanding that he had been dead and was now alive, he was lost and he was now found, and it done something to them. And it made them merry. Let's pray together over the word, shall we? Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We thank you, Father, for your great word. We so appreciate the privilege to be able to hear it, to live it, and to become it. I pray that you'd speak to us tonight, Lord, and may we be enlightened to the day that we're living. May the wave sheaf of this hour be waved before us. May we see the importance and the value, Lord, of having the sheaf of this day waved. We can wave one that has been in the past. We can wave the light of another time. But it will not bring us to that full maturity of the word. In order for us to come to that, it must be a sheaf and the proper season. So wave over us the word that is needed for our final stages of growth. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
That ain't good enough. I want a bigger one. And the saints said,
amen.
I think I'll go ahead and preach to you now. Let me see. Quickened from the dead. Let me read you this quote that we've been looking at from Smyrna Church Age. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. Now, to be quickened from the dead, in this term, in the way that Jesus puts it, that this son was alive, then he entered into a state of death, and then when he come back to the Father with an acknowledgement and understanding, he is now alive again. He was found, then lost, then found again. Now, whenever we look at what God has provided for us and seeing that the mystery of the book of redemption is already not a great complicated something or another, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to understand it. As a matter of fact, in the Easter Seal 4:10-65, Brother Bem says, if you are an eagle, you will understand. So trying to get a cop out on this, well, I don't understand it, I just believe it, that only goes so far. But we're living in a day when God wants us to understand our position, who we are, where we come from, and all of that. Now, I want you to follow with me on this thought. And, you know, to think that God in the Old Testament foreshadowed many of these things that would come in the New. In the Old Testament, of course, they did not look at spiritual types and antitypes. But if they had a lamb, that's what they looked at. It was a lamb. If they had a barley sheaf, it was a barley sheaf. They understood nothing about types, nothing about spiritual parallels, but it was all just a natural something, a natural law, a natural prophet that got it on a natural mountain. So it was everything natural. Yet God had underlying in that natural thing a parallel or a spiritual, because Israel was his chosen people of the Old Testament. It foreshadowed a choosing of a Gentile merging in the New Testament. So many of the things, the feasts, the tabernacle, the furniture, the sacrifices, the bread, the colors, even all the things of redemption of the Old Testament were foreshadowed in the Lord Jesus. Now, whenever God did it that, whenever he would unfold the antitype, he would make it much more clear. And not only was Jesus in the Old Testament types, but we were as well. You believe that? We know that Jesus was typified by Boaz, but Jesus did not answer to Ruth. Who was Ruth? We were. Amen. You believe that? Now let's read, if you would, in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And I'd like to look on this on this thought of the eighth day. Now, you know, too many people in the message, they get scared to death and you go to talk about it's the eighth day because folks have went off in the deep end and went off on the left and the right. But you realize that a scarecrow is put out in a field to scare crows and not eagles. So if scarecrows are scaring you, then maybe you ought to check who you are. Scarecrows should not bother you at all, because if you're an eagle, you'll fly right over the top of that old crow and kick him down and go on to the revealed word. So don't let the scarecrows get in the way of you seeing who you are and who the word really says you can be. Now, what you notice in this antitype, there's a reflection here that Jesus brought. In Mark 16, 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, then the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices, and they came and anointed him. Now, notice what they're fixing to do. The Sabbath is passed, second day is passed, and now they're coming into the time of the resurrection. Now, the time is about 5:30 in the morning. From Bethany to where Jesus' body was laying was a couple of miles away. So they would have had to left at right at dark, something like that. It's still dark. The purple haze has not broke over the horizon yet. And Jesus is still in the tomb. Now, the scripture says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalms 22:1. And whenever you look at that word there, it's actually the dear or the dawn of the morning. It's whenever it's that little speck of daylight before the sun actually emerges over the horizon, and it's a little purple looking. It's not
not exactly the sun and it's not exactly the moon, but it's that little breaking of the light before you ever see the sun. Now that's the Hebrew word that David used in describing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So Jesus was that usurping in of the day star. Now you notice how the women, that the Sabbath has now set in and it's passed. They've come, they had to usher in Jesus, put him in the tomb real hurriedly. They was not able to prepare him right. So now the first day of the week, they're going back. So now they want to be there the very first thing in the morning. So they leave Bethany, which is where Mary lived, 2 miles away from where Jesus' body is. But yet the merchants are already up and stirring around. Now the way the Hebrew day started was, and they take it from the Old Testament, the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, if you know this by the Hebrew calendar, you know that actually this afternoon at around 6 o'clock, the Hebrew day would have begun. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. So that's the way their days would have begun. Now, this is why Jesus being crucified on Friday afternoon, and they said that the Sabbath come in. Well, instead of it being like 12:01 a.m., it was more like 6 o'clock p.m. So here, this is all timed exactly right prophetically by the divine calendar of God. Now notice here, they are coming up, and you know, look how much faith they've got that Jesus is going to raise from the dead. They're bringing all these spices and all these herbs, about 100 pounds of them, to anoint his body, because they got so much faith he's going to get up. Aren't you glad God's merciful? Aren't you glad God's merciful? They wasn't going there expecting him to be up. They was going to prepare his body. They thought it was the end. How many times have you and I prepared? Well, this is it. This is it. Oh, God, oh, God. God just looks right over the top of our ignorance and our stupidity and goes ahead and fulfills his word. I'm so glad when God has purposed something, there is nothing that can stop him. They didn't believe he'd raise from the dead no more than Caiaphas. And they had heard all of these promises. I'm going to get up. I'm going to raise. Destroy this temple and I'll raise in 3 days. Hallelujah. Now watch verse 2. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So here now, the first day of the week, which was then, S-U-N-D-A-Y, Sunday. Now, they head out, they want to get there right at the breaking of day, and when they start on their journey, it's not a journey of great hope and great faith. It's one, no doubt, of fear and worry and troubled spirits and troubled minds. Glory to God. They were not expecting an angel. They were not expecting Jesus raised from the dead. They were expecting a corpse. But instead, they found grave clothes. I'm sure you know historically that whenever a master was sitting down at the table and he would be interrupted from his meal, one of the ways the servants of that house would know whether or not the master was done was he would fold up his napkin and he would lay it up on the table. And whenever he laid it up on the table, they knew the work was done. Can you imagine when they walk in and the grave clothes are folded up? They're all folded neatly and laid there. They knew it was done. Glory! The master was finished with the tomb. He did not need a permanent entrance. It had fulfilled his purpose, and now he's raised from the dead. Let's read now Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10, if you would. Speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So here God foreshadowed it in the types that there would be on the first day after the Sabbath a waving of the sheaf. Now notice what the sheaf is. It's the very first one to come to maturity. So you didn't take seed and wave over garbage. But you took seed and waved over seed. You wouldn't take barley seed and wave it over this fake tree. You wouldn't take barley seed and wave over this computer monitor. But you took seed and waved it over seed. Glory. Hallelujah. Notice this in the rising of the sun. If there would be any holy ritual, it should come forth on the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. He said, but did you notice in this memorial to wave it on the first day of the week? The sheaf, which was, notice now, what was the sheaf? The first one, the first of your seed. So you mean what you're waving is only part of what you're going to get? So what you're waving and the rest of what you're going to get are actually the same thing. So you wouldn't take a barley sheaf and wave over a patch of watermelons or cantaloupes. Or you wouldn't take a bunch of barley sheaf and wave over a bunch of goats and say, abracadabra, abracadoo, I'm going to change you. And you're going to become from a goat to a sheep. But you wave seed over seed. Can't you see why these denominational preachers are going to take your people straight to the tribulation period? They're waving that kind of preaching over them. You can't live no higher than what you're hearing. So this is the first of your seed that comes to maturity. Now watch, he says, the sheaf, which was the first of your seed that you planted, when it comes up and ripen, you cut down this sheaf and take it to the priest. Let him take it and wave it before the Lord for your exception. Why? What's this got to do with me? If God accepts the sheaf, he accepts you. It will be waved in your stead. Now watch, you have come with your sheaf. He's to wave it before the Lord, not on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day, but on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. Then he spells it S-U-N-D-A-Y. Of course, that's a Roman word, which they called it for the sun after the sun god, but how it's changed. So y'all go home after church, change all your Sundays. It's not S-U-N anymore. It's S-O-N-D-A-Y. Do you understand what dispensation we're living in? Oh, Brother Don, it's night time. Oh, no. It's shalom to you. It's S-O-N-D-A-Y. And Sunday's on Monday. And Sunday can be on Tuesday. And Sunday can be on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's Sunday, my friends. It's the Sunday, the Sunday, the corn of wheat. Notice this. God's first one up from the dead is to be waved over the congregation. For what reason? That we are his. So if we were goats, God should have took a goat and waved a goat over goats. Glory. What's this? Amen. God's wheat. God's seed. God's name. God's power. God's nature. Manifested in this first corn of wheat. To be waved over the rest of the field. Now you take the one that's waved. And you take the ones in the field. And you open them up. They are identical. Thank you, Lord God. The first of the seed of those that slept waved upon the first day of the week. On Sunday, he raised up, waved goodbye, and ascended up on high in the presence of the people. Now watch this again. Notice there was the first corn of God's wheat that had been raised from the dead. God's first corn of wheat. By God's quickening power, God had quickened his life. Raised him up from the dead. He was the first fruit of those that slept. The first fruit. He was that sheaf. That's why they had to wave that sheaf. For it was the first one, not the only one. Not the only one. This is not the only one of its kind. It's the first one. The first one that come to maturity. And it was waved as a memorial of thanksgiving to God, believing that the rest of them would come. This is what God believes about you. You may lose faith in yourself. You may lose faith in one another. You may lose faith in me. But God does not lose faith in his work. God knows it will come. Now watch how he goes into this. That today, because he was the first son of God to come to full maturity, to be in God. He was plucked up from the earth and is waved over the people. Oh, what a glorious lesson. By the quickening power, the first one. Although he'd been typed, and many times we'll say later that he was typed, but this was really the first fruit of them that slept. He was waved over. The promised seed that had promise of life. Now is the message of this end time to be waved over everybody? No, absolutely not. Only those with life. And even many of those that it'll be waved over, they'll never understand it. They'll never grasp it. They'll never catch the value of it, the importance of it. It's only for the seed, really. Now watch, he was waved at the day of Pentecost when there came a sound from heaven like a waving, mighty, rushing wind. So here he come. He was, what's going on? Waving that sheaf. And that wave, amen, created a wind in the upper realm. So he was waved over the people, the Pentecostal people that was up at Pentecost, waiting for the blessing to come. Now listen. And to be waved again. We realize in the last day, according to Luke 17:30. Now it's been church ages for 2,000 years. But S-O-N-D-A-Y has got to come back. Friends, can't you understand the importance of hearing the word of this hour preached to you? I love to hear about Jonah. I love to preach about Noah. I love to preach about Moses. But I could preach that over and over and over again. And if I do not bring it to where we are, what good is it going to do me? It's repeating historical facts. Thank God for it. But tell me what's going to get me out of here. Wave that sign word over me now. Now watch, he says, in the day when the S-O-N, and he spells it when he says this, S-O-N of man will be revealed or waved again over the people. Now he's waved on the day of Pentecost in the office of Son of God. That would suffice for the church ages. But it was the Son of Man that revealed himself to Abraham and Sarah at the body change. Now the Son of Man revealing is a different office and different characteristics displayed than Son of God. Now let me read you this so you get this straight in your mind. The Paschal Lamb was slain on the 14th day of the month at the evening time. On the 15th day of the month was the Holy Convocation, the beginning of the feast. On the 16th day of the month was the first fruits of the harvest. From that day they were to count 7 weeks, 49 days, or 7 Sabbaths, or 7 church ages. And then on the 50th day after this, from the 16th day of Nisan, on the 50th day, come the waving of Pentecost. Now remember, the feast of Pentecost was only one day. Unlike some of the other feasts that lasted for 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, the feast of Pentecost was only one day. So it would be an allotment of time after the church ages. When Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Sardis, all them would be done. And it would have its own name, actually. It would be called the Bride Age. Glory! Notice every one of the other church ages was named after a city. Except for this one. This one is named after his wife. Glory! This Bride Age is not named Johnson City Age, Jeffersonville Age, Tucson Age, Phoenix Age, but it's named after the office that he is emphasizing in this hour. The Bride Age. Is it a long age? No. Pentecost was one day. Now watch this in Leviticus 23:15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Now they're to count from that morrow, and then they're going to count up for 7 weeks. This is why Pentecost was called the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost, of course, is a Greek word which means 50 or a part of 50. Now, after this starts, then there's supposed to be 49 days finished, which will be 7 weeks, 7 Sabbaths. The next day, the 50th, is what we term as Pentecost. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Notice, a new meat offering. They're going in under a different understanding. It was thought to be the blood in the days of Luther, Wesley. But they're going to go in understanding it's not the chemistry at all, but it's the life. Many folks have idolized the chemistry of the body of the Lord Jesus. No man more have his blood than his pulpit does. Right? Now watch. After the morrow of the Sabbath, you shall number 50 days, you shall offer new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves. Now we looked at this last week, that Christ typified the sheaf because it was not processed. But the loaves are processed. It is the grain that has come to a process. It's been beat. It's been melted together. It's had a union of grain and flour and oil and salt. You cannot get loaves without a union. And you can't get loaves, at least in this day, and that day rather, without fire. Glory! They didn't have microwaves and they didn't have general electric ovens like we do, but they had one way of making their bread, and that was fire. In the upper room, Jesus didn't push a button and microwave them all and nuke them all into the body, but he baptized them by fire. Praise the Lord. Now watch, he is the first fruits, glory to God, of the barley harvest, but the bride is the first fruits of the wheat harvest. Lord Jesus. Notice where they're supposed to bring this flour. Verse 17. And ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be a fine flour. Now not seed. Seed transformed. Seed opened. Seed processed. Friends, I don't want to just be seed. I want to be bread. Glory. Wait, I don't want to just be seed. I want to be bread, which means I've got to go through a process. Oh, glory. And they shall be bacon with heaven. The humanity's going to be left. The weakness, the frailty. Bakedness. Now remember, leaven could not be offered on the altar. It was forbidden by God. But this is not an offering made on the altar. It is an offering that is waived. Some of you folks want some type of super fandangle faith and some type of super life. I'll tell you what God wants from you and I. He wants our everyday flour. Your brothers think you're all going to quit your job and everybody sit around and listen to tapes and read your Bible before the rest of it's a bunch of trash and nonsense. Keep on planting your taters. Your sisters keep making them apple pies. Keep making them chocolate cookies and feeding your family, changing diapers and making beds. That's your flour that you donate to the loaf of God. You don't have to sit around and say, oh my, I've got to read and pray for this. That's not God's command for you. But bring your flour out of your house. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now notice the difference in this one. You shall offer, verse 18, with the bread, 7 lambs without blemish of the first year and 1 bullock, 2 rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings and an offering made by fire. So with this one, it was needful to have a sin offering. Why didn't the wave sheaf need one? You didn't need no goat for him. But we do need one for us. Well, then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs. Now what's in verse 20? And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering. Now these would have been quite heavy. So as I mentioned to you last week, what the priest would do in these heavy sacrifices, he would cut off a piece of the bullock or a piece of the lamb, and the piece would represent the entire offering. So instead of raising an entire bullock or a heave offering or a wave offering, he would cut off a piece, and when he waved the piece, it represented the entire shoulder. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's wonderful that Jesus raised from the dead. But what does that mean to you and I? Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Now watch the way sheaf as he ascends. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. The promise of my Father. And what promise was that? I send the promise of my Father. And who was his Father? The Holy Ghost. So I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I love this word, enduo, the Greek word. Put on, clothe with, to sink into clothing. Until you be endued, not with knowledge, not with intellect, not the memorization of the scripture, but endued with power from on high. Where's your power? Is dunamis, the same word we get dynamite from. Glory! Jesus didn't want us to be a bunch of walking theologians. He wanted us to be walking sticks of dynamite. Hallelujah! Amen! Dunamis, be anointed with that power. Now watch, Luke 24:50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Amen. So here now the wave sheaf is now waved over the congregation. He walks upon the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. Look now again in the book of Acts, which also was written by Luke. Acts 1:1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. 40 days. Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses both unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. Now notice, the sheaf wave is waved of the barley. Now we got to count from there 7 Sabbaths. So Jesus is here for 40 days after his resurrection. Which leaves 10 more days between the next waving. Now remember, Pentecost is 50 days after this initial waving. So he spends 40 days teaching, talking to them about the commandments of God. Now, watch. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said also, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And they return. Now notice, here they go to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem about a Sabbath day journey. So now they've got 10 days. Do you understand where the tarrying that people have developed in Pentecost and many folks in the message have carried over? Where people have said, well, they've got to go tarry for the Holy Ghost like they did on the day of Pentecost. People don't even understand why they even waited. It was not like that it took that long the Holy Ghost to come. He could not come until the morrow after the 7 Sabbaths. It's not like that they had to pray and pray and beat the altar and beat the altar and beat the altar and wait. They was waiting on a time frame. Now they went in there and took care of certain business and they replaced Judas and this and that and the other. But they are basically waiting. Oh, I wish somebody hear me tonight. Can you imagine waiting between the ascension and the dissension? I wonder, my friend, if that's not where we are. We're waiting on this, we're waiting on that, and we're waiting on him to come. Day 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now Jesus chose not to descend in the night. Now the day of Pentecost actually would have began at around 6 o'clock in the evening the night before. The evening and the morning were the first day. But Jesus chose to descend in the third hour, or a little bit prior to the third hour of the day, which is 9 o'clock. So somewhere between 6 and 9. Glory to God! Somewhere early in the morning at the rising of the sun. Guess what? Here he comes through that window again. Hallelujah. What is it? That same Son of God that had life and he's now come back to wave that baptism of the Holy Ghost. So notice here now in verse 2. So the day of Pentecost is fully come. And suddenly, there came a priest walking down the road. There came somebody with a tape or a message book. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. What's going on? Amen. Melchizedek. Glory to God. Melchizedek is waving again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's been waved over the people with a rushing mighty. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Good Lord. How could you get the Holy Ghost sitting down? One of these days, some of y'all are going to find out that's when you got it. Actually, sitting your burst by the Word, where the Word was going for us. It wasn't that 197 trip to the altar when you was beating around on the altar, but when that Word come forth and burst that seed inside of you, and you become quickened. Now watch, so here then is the second eighth day. The first eighth day being a holy convocation, which he's raised from the dead. Now he comes back again in the form of Son of God. And he's waved over the people in order to finish up the molding together of these loaves. They got the flour, they got all the different things they need. They're there in the oven, I mean the upper room. They need fire. Brother, sister, we got books, we got tapes, we got guitars, we got drums, we got good places to go to church. I think we need some fire to enter in. I'm talking about wildfire, I'm talking about that real pillar of fire himself. Glory! To mix together all these things that we got and make a loaf of bread. Now watch, Brother Ben, begin the rising of the sun. He said, he was waved at the day of Pentecost when there come a sound from heaven like a waving, mighty rushing wind. He was waved over the people. Notice now in verse 3 what happens when he comes through and he's waved. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of. So here they start acting like what they got. Glory to God. Fire done baked them. Now that they done set on fire by fire. Now their own tongues is now manifesting what they received. Like as of tongues. And watch what it does. These little licks of fire comes down and sets on each little oven. I mean each person. Each one of them's got to be baked. Remember what we said a while ago? He wants well done bread. And this is all rainbow bread, of course. That's the only kind Jesus eats. Jesus likes that carol. I sent me to the grocery store the other day and she told me a certain brand of bread. I think it was ancient grains or something like that. So I'm pushing a buggy down through there looking for all this stuff. You know, I'm about as out of place as a cat in a rocking chair full of rubber rocking chairs. And I'm going around through there looking for ancient grain. I thought, you know what? I'm kind of looking for myself because I believe that's what I am. Ancient grain. Ancient grain. I'm not some of this new hatched out stuff. Now look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to quote the message and said, the prophet of God done this and the prophet of God done that. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I know the message folks hate this. But I can't help it. That's your problem. I love it. This is my birthright. Notice this. How Brother Bam identifies this in spoken words original. See, the Bible is manifested again, like in the early days of Christ. You see, because, good Lord, you are a predestinated seed, just like Christ. Why? Now friends, it's this plain simple truth. We either believe this or we don't. And if we don't, let's get away from it. Let's go to the Baptist. Let's go to the message. Let's quit butchering this. Let's quit using a pair of scissors and cutting this out and cutting that out. Either we believe it or we don't. Because you are a predestinated seed just like. Well, how was he? Jesus heard the word and he became predestinated? Well, if that's the way Jesus was, then that's the way I am. But if that ain't the way he was, that ain't the way I am. Either that or Brother M told us a lie. And if it's a lying prophet, I'm getting away from him. I'm finding another and won't tell a lie. So how am I just like Jesus? A predestinated seed. And when the rain falls on that seed, the life produces itself. And when it fell on those seed, you mean to tell me this seed before they ever got the Holy Ghost? Here they are in the upper room. They ain't born again. They don't have the Holy Ghost. And that seed before they ever got it. God didn't take the wave sheaf and wave it over a bunch of hogs and said, abracadabra, abracadoo, I am going to change you. What's happening? They are experiencing the first spiritual resurrection. Man up to this time thought the resurrection mainly attained to the body. The Old Testament foreshadowed a resurrection, and they believed it would come somehow, but it was so vague they could not understand it. But they are now experiencing a resurrection. They have been quickened from the dead. They are now the very first ones to fulfill the parable of the prodigal son. This my son was dead, but they are alive. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So here is the first loaf of the bride waving on the day of Pentecost. I love the way Brother Ram describes this. He says, when it fell on those seed that Jesus said he chose them when? Before the foundation of the world. Then they were a predestinated seed. Is that right? They haul themselves up in the upper room. Those seeds, the word. And the word was laying in there without life in it. So they haul the ingredients. Sack of flour. Little pinch of salt. Little bit of oil. They haul themselves up into the upper room. And they're finishing up in the last stages of sanctification. finish it up in the last stages of sanctification. Why can't he come the first day after he raises up, break all the types? He cannot come until the morrow after the Sabbath, on the new Sunday, when there will be a new meat offering offered. Lord Jesus. So they hauled themselves up to the upper room. Those seeds. The Word. And the Word was laying there without life in it. And all of a sudden, there come a sound from heaven as the waters begin to gush down. When anybody knows to make a batter, you gotta have water. Now how did water and fire come on the same chariot? I don't know, but that's up to God. He brought water and fire on the same visit. Oh my. And it actually filled all the houses where they were sitting. And those seeds began to grow. So watch now. Here on the eighth day. Glory. After the seven Sabbaths have passed. Then here comes the person of the Word. Now watch this in Leviticus 23:11. And he shall wave the sheep before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. Then verse 16. Even the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. Offer a new meat offering. Mark 16. When the Sabbath was passed. Here they come very early in the morning. Verse 2. The first day of the week. And they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So here on the eighth day. Glory. The wave offering is to be waved on the second eighth day. The wave loaves are to be waved. Mark 16, the wave sheep was waved. So there's got to be two loaves. Jewish rye and Gentile wheat. In those one, he will tear down that wall of partition. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What's this in the future home? 7 days will pass away, or as I said, will change to another. 8 days deals with new creation. Not old creation. 8 days is new creation. For it was on the eighth day that our Lord raised from the dead. Don't misunderstand me. But it was actually on the eighth day that you raised. Whenever it was that your soul actually got burst. You actually entered into eternity. Oh God. Hallelujah. Whatever it happened to us, Mother Jim, we moved beyond church ages. We moved beyond time. We moved beyond the grave. Oh, this here, sure. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the real you. For it was on the eighth day that our Lord raised from the dead. It was on the eighth day that Peter raised from the dead. Peter had been a good message preacher, but he wound up being a cussing one. I've said all along, man, some of these message preachers, good thing preachers out the Holy Ghost, sometimes what they do if they ever get it. It's evident a lot of them ain't got neither with the way they live and what they do. Jesus' teaching never burst Peter. He never got a new birth by sitting at the feet of Jesus. But it was on the eighth day. Under the administration of Jesus, sharing the word, it was still in the church ages and time. But it had to be that personal embrace of the pillar of fire. Peter had to move over into the eighth day in his soul. I tell my no eighth day messenger. Now some of the messenger, that's a bunch of nonsense. But there is a truth to this, friends. Notice this, it was on the eighth day that our Lord raised from the dead. There is your other convocation, the holiness. Not considering the Sabbath at all, the Feast of the Tabernacles, Feast of this, Feast of Pentecost. Jesus raised from the dead for our justification on the eighth day. After the seven Sabbaths, or 7 days, seven church ages, Jesus raised from the dead. Why would you stumble at that? Why would you stumble that it had to be at the end of Laodicea that Jesus had to raise again? Not that he died now, but he was held back at the door of denomination. They would not let him loose. So the ministry of Jesus Christ had to be reincarnated again in his church in the last day to show he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not dead, but he's alive. He's alive. He's not dead. Don't you see, friends, why Brother M's ministry had to be different than all Roberts and all the rest of them? He didn't just come to preach. God borrowed his body to produce a waving. Thank you, Lord Jesus. After the seven Sabbaths or 7 days, seven church ages, Jesus raised from the dead. Eighth day, which is a holy convocation, which is the first day. So Sunday being the first day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Saturday being the seventh day. So then if you've got the day after the Sabbath, you go back to what? Sunday again. The first day of the week. Back to where you started. The eighth day, which is a holy convocation, which is the first day. See, you've done passed through time and dropped into eternity again. Again, which means some part of you was there. What was it? The seed. Glory to God. It was the seed. Glory to God, that seed was there. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Notice the eighth day Jesus raised for our justification. The eternal king. With the eternal kingdom. To be baptized into eternal life. Not 7 days. Nothing to do with the end of the days. Speaking of another eternal coming. Speaking of an eternal time. That world that I'm speaking of. So the eighth day rolls back to the first day again. Because there's not 8 days in a week. Right? So it goes back to the first. Where you started. Can't you see, as long as we preach church age messages, we'll never produce a rapture. Never. Notice he says, in after 50 days or 7 Sabbaths from there, again there come another holy convocation. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. On the 7th, or on the 8th day rather, the 8th day, fell on the 8th day. 7 Sabbaths later, exactly after his resurrection. So it'd be 7 times that again. Bring it right back around to the first day of the week again. So Jesus had to come down. Whew. Lord God, I feel like running. Jesus had to come down on the day of Pentecost. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send Michael. He didn't send Wormwood. But he himself come at the end of the 7 Sabbaths in order to bring that portion of the bride into the 8th day. Into their eternity. Can you go a little farther? There is your holy convocation. Not anything to do with the literal things. It's beyond that. It's into the kingdom of God with eternal life. With the predestinated that never did start. It never started on any day. Glory to God. You wasn't saved on any day. You was always saved. Amen. Jesus come to redeem that, but you was saved from the beginning because you had eternal life to begin with. So what does the Holy Ghost do? It brings you right back to the first where you started. You did not start in Laodicea. You did not start as a human, but you was there in His mind. And the Holy Ghost brings you right back to the first day of the week. Glory to God. Quickened from the dead. So all the New Testament saints from Jesus up to this day are all raised on the same day. The eighth day. Can't you see, friend, how sad it is? The seven branch candlestick was in the second compartment of the tabernacle of the congregation. Many of the message people, that's as far as they've gone. It's set right next to the veil. But as long as you were standing there worshiping under the light of those seven branch candlestick, you'd never move beyond the veil to where the Shekinah was. And many message folks have stopped right there. The message only leaves them right up to Brother Branham, and that's as far as they go. How sad. This message is not to lead us to Brother Branham. It's to lead us to Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not to lead us to Moses or Elijah or John the Baptist. When He come on the eighth day, He did not lead them to Moses. He did not lead them to Elijah. He led them to Himself in the upper room. Notice this. You wasn't saved on any day. You was always saved. Now when the prodigal son was in the pig pen, was he a pig or a son? Notice the very next paragraph. A trout fish could never be a gar or a tadpole. Isn't it amazing? He didn't compare a cat to a, or a trout to a dog. Or a trout to a horse. He compared it to other things that are in the same water. They're swimming around just like the trout. And maybe an untrained person will look at a gar and say, is that a trout or is that a gar? If you know what a gar is, you know a trout ain't a gar. That's exactly right. And yet your brother Ben goes from that being saved, being part of God. Amen. And says a trout fish can never be a gar or a tadpole. He might be in the same water with him, but he was from the beginning a trout. The net only caught him, but he was that from the beginning. We've lived through these types, but when you hit the eighth, you go on into eternity. There's your holy convocation. Our body's still in time. We're still in the seventh church age in time. But don't link my soul up with that. Eternity, remember, he says in future home is like a ring. So actually you stepped off in this little circle here called time, but once you hit the eighth day, your soul, you move back into eternity on the first day where you was at the beginning. Notice, you don't come by laws and rituals and orders. You come by predestination. There's a genuine holy convocation. And we're ending the seventh church age, Pentecostal age. Do you see it? We're entering that holy convocation. We're entering into that real, genuine eternity where the church is not called to some station, some denomination. but into eternity with their eternal King. See, we don't have it at all. No such thing as days and things and times. You've passed into eternity where you come from. You was there to begin with. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Quickened from the dead.
Amen.
Jesus stood there that day in the book of Luke, and he told the three stories of the mystery of lost and found. The one with the sheep, the one with the drachma, and the one with the prodigal son. It was a parable then, but it's been a reality for 2,000 years. That Jesus could stand there and when another one is birthed and they move beyond the sevenths, they move beyond time where time holds their soul, and they move over into the eighths. That Jesus can say to the angels, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. This my son was dead, but he is alive. My daughter was dead, but she has been quickened. She was lost, but she is now found. Rejoice, be merry, and be glad, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Can I read one more? Again, if it's your home, if you've got eternal life, there's only one form, and that's God. And you are an express attribute. The Holy Ghost is eternal. Then you are in eternity where you was all the time, but you've just recognized what happened. Oh, well, not that the preachers are gospel fishermen. You know, and they go out and, I got one. Oh. Throw him in the boat. Oh, he's a gar. Oh, he's a tadpole. He's a terrapin. He's a spider. Abracadabra. Abracadoo. I'm going to say the word of God over you. I'm going to change you from a lost sea going to hell to a seed of God. You're a witch. That's not the gospel story. The gospel story is that that trout was born out there in them waters after the fall of man in a lost state. Were the elect lost? Just as lost as they could be. But what does lost mean exactly? I mean, Carol was riding down the road one day this week going down to Kentucky. She took a coat along because she was going to move a button over on the coat. So she has her little scissors and thread and needle and all that. So she cuts that button off, pulls the thread out, you know, getting it ready. And maybe a couple of minutes goes by. And she said, oh, I've lost that button. Oh, I've lost that button. Oh, no, I've lost that button. But we hadn't stopped. We hadn't got out of the vehicle. But yet it was lost. Glory. Glory. So she kept looking. And looking, and the more she looked, you know, I could tell she was getting anxious about it. But as she unfolded the coat, the button was there. If y'all ever lost something, your keys, or as you get older, it becomes a normal everyday part of life, you know. And you forget this, and you lose that. But yet you realize it's only out of your sight, or out of the place where you placed it the day before. It does not mean it is forever. Oh, glory to God! Hallelujah! It does not mean that you were devils, that you were goats. That's absolutely contrary to the word. You was born in a lost state, in a lost sea. Ha! Got a hit. Rainbow trout, no doubt. Yeah, as a rainbow. Yeah. All I got to do is bring him to a recognition of who he is. Oh, hallelujah. Let me close. If I don't close these things up, I'll keep reading till midnight. Oh, God. Quickened from the dead. Can't you see, friends, why there had to be a fullness that would come in this day that was never had in the days of Luther or Wesley or Pentecost? Amen. Only Jesus himself can bring the fullness. Amen. This is why Brother Branham could not be a reformer. We didn't just need new theology. We needed the reappearing of the sheaf himself. In Son of Man form, to wave himself over the last day bride. Don't you understand? All those that have died for 2,000 years, they cannot get up without us. Paul, Peter, James, John, those that received the first fruits of the Holy Ghost, they're waiting on us. We needed more than just another pastor. We needed more than just an evangelist. Don't get mad at me, but we needed more than just a prophet. We need the Lord Jesus himself, the minister, the Son of Man, to come down and borrow that prophet's body and reveal himself as Son of Man. And wave that over the people and utter these things that you're feeding on now. And when this bride gets to her spot, Lord have mercy, and the last one comes in, and she can wave up and be waved, the resurrection will set in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes we just don't know what to say in appreciation for what not only you did 2,000 years ago, not only what you did in the 50s and the 60s, but what you're doing for us today. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord, that I don't wave some type of creed, some type of theory. I don't want to be, Lord, a preacher that waves his own ideology over the people. But I want to wave that which is needful for them to get out of here. If we're going to stay here all of the time, and I'll spend all of my study time on blessings and material things, if that's what our goal is. But if our goal is the rapture, Lord God, I want to wave rapturing service. Oh, sure, I want to preach healing. I want to preach deliverance and salvation and all that too. Lord, help me. Help me. God, may you pass through us tonight. May you pass among us, Lord God. We don't desire to see Brother Branham wave before us or Donnie Reagan or some other person. But may it be Christ. The revealed word, may you come by tonight, Lord God. Wave your presence. Wave your mind over us, Lord, that we can lay aside our thoughts. Wave your own being, your character, your nature. Oh, God, if there's any here tonight that have not crossed over in that eighth day, maybe they're still hanging around the menorah, the seven branch candlestick, and they're just rejoicing and shouting, glory to God. God sent a prophet. They're just running back and forth and back and forth on the second court. But they've never been in behind the veil to see the Shekinah. Lord God, may tonight be the night that the voice behind the veil pulls them, Lord God. May the word in the chest, may the word, oh God, pull them. Oh, the people that went in behind the veil, they did not destroy the seven branch candlestick. They didn't destroy it and annihilate and do away with it. They needed it. It was part of that way to lead them in there. But they just didn't stop there and worship there. Oh, glory. Help us to understand, you don't want us to even stop. Just worship 3 times a week.
You want it to be a time after the opening of the seventh seal. Our day is worship. Our life is worship. Oh God, grant it, I pray. Grant it, I pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You have raised me from the dead. And I sit with you tonight as Lazarus did in St. John 12. After he had been raised from the dead and they'd given a feast. And the scripture says many of the people came not only to see Jesus, but they came to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Let us be merry and be glad, and let us eat the fatted calf. Lord, as I told him a few weeks ago, if it was a fatted calf, that meant it was a calf that was put up. Amen. A calf that was prepared for that day. You have a fatted calf for us in this hour. The anointed word. All the rest of the world is starving to death. Oh, we've got a 7-course meal with all the trimmings, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, may you pass through this place tonight. And if there's some that's here that's holding the seed, but it's never come to life, may that same one who stood there in St. John 11 call their name. Come forth. Come forth. May they hear the voice of the resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was lost in the world, living in time, didn't know who I was, I didn't know what was mine. But then one day I heard his voice fly over me, and he helped me make the choice. And I was quickened from the dead. I was quickened from the dead. I was lost, but now I'm found. Now my soul is heaven bound. I am quickened. Aren't you glad you quickened from the dead? You were lost, but now you're found. Now your soul is heaven bound, and we're quickened from the dead. Oh, now I'm quickened from the dead. Let the bride say, soul is heaven bound, and I'm quickened from the dead. Again now, oh, I'm quickened from the dead. I'm alive, quickened from the dead. I was lost, but now I'm found. Now my soul is heaven.
Thank you.